Good morning, Radical Church. Here I am again. Good to see you. <It's> here I am now sitting. So I know that this is a little different this morning, but it is Mother's Day. And one thing that we've heard about Radical Church from multiple people that come to Radical Church, they say the thing that they love the most is the genuineness, the transparency. And I really do believe that this is a place where there's genuine love for Jesus, that there's a genuine love for the people of God, right? And so today we wanted to kind of invite you into our living room setting, right? So it looks a little bit different. I promise you it's not the view. I know we have our coffee mugs and we're sitting up here. But we really do believe that God has a powerful word today. And we know that women come from different walks of life. We have different walks. We have different experiences. We have different things that we've gone through, what God's taught us. And we each were praying what God would have us to say or God would have us to share with you guys. And there just kept being the same theme over and over and over again. And we were like, man, okay, this is definitely a Holy Spirit, because don't we know he works that way in confirming over and over again. He doesn't leave us to just figure it out on our own. So we are super excited to share with you guys this morning. But first, we would like you to get to know us a little better. For some of you, you might be looking at us and you're like, who is that? Where is Pastor Trevor, right? So you're stuck with us this morning. So we're going to go ahead and share who we are, a little bit about us, so that you guys know us before we get started. My name is Rachel. Me and my husband, we have four children. I have Olivia, Brooklyn, Nathan, and Harley. We were actually got the honor to adopt my nephew, Daniel, and he has given us our daughter in love, Abigail, and our sweet little Magnolia now, which makes me a Mimi, if you can believe it. So this is crazy. But we've actually been at Radical since near the very, very beginning. Me and my husband both got a word from the Lord to move from California to Texas in the middle of the pandemic. So talk about trust and having to give it all to God. We left everyone and everything that we've ever known, and we came to build a church, is what God said. And so there are so many things that has led us here, so many signs, so many wonders, so many confirmations, and the reason that we are here. But three of my children are now teenagers, so they're in Radical Youth, and me and my husband were actually doing Rad Youth out of our home for 2 years. And we now host almost 70 teenagers in this building now. So God is doing some great things. So me and my husband get the honor of leading the youth group and leading that department, and we're just so, so thankful to be here. God is doing some great things. Youth ministry, we've done it for about 11 years, and it has given us so many to call our own. Not only do we have the ones that we have, but we also have so many more.
Hi, y'all. I'm Michelle. I know you're used to seeing me up here leading worship, but you're going to get to know a little bit more about me as well today. First off, like, my heart is beating out of my chest, and you would think, why? I mean, she has a mic. She's up here all the time. But this is a little out of my comfort zone. But being fully transparent, you will never, like, they have their coffee mugs, but you will never see me without water. And also Kleenex, because I cry at the drop of the hat. I'm just a sensitive soul. So I have been married to my amazing husband, Jeff, for 30 years this year. Yes, thank you. Yes, that's a big number. Let me help you out. We got married when we were toddlers. Wink, wink. So we've been a part of Radical Church since the launch. We had the privilege of getting the Rad groups up and going, and we oversaw those for the first 3 years, just passed the baton on to Kylan and Paige this past January. And now we are launching the Rad Prayer Team. Jeff is overseeing it, and I assist Tim, our powerful worship pastor, with everything worship. And I am a mother of many.
Good morning. I know some of you might not have any idea who I am, I am Lindsay. I am Trevor's wife. So when he points out and says, my beautiful wife, every week, and embarrasses me, that's me. I am not usually one to be on the stage, which is probably why some of you have no idea who I am. You know, I actually never shared this with Trevor, so surprise. But God actually revealed to me in March that I would be up here on Mother's Day. So it really took that long for me to mentally prepare to be up here. It's not something that I'm super comfortable with, but I just have found peace, obviously, from the Lord, but also just knowing that I have a word for some of you who are in here. Just a little bit about me. Probably over a year or so ago, I was scrolling on social media, and I saw a sponsored ad for a t-shirt that said, Motherhood is my ministry. And I was like, oh, I really like that. That resonates with me. Where we are right now in this season of our life, Trevor is up here on Sundays, and he's speaking to you guys in the mornings, and I am, you know, chasing after my kiddos out there. I'm opening snacks for them, and I'm really just in the calling right now that motherhood is my ministry. So that's a little bit of inspo from where that came from. You know, as moms, we are raising these tiny disciples, right? We're raising them to walk in their calling for the Lord and to just learn more about God. Oh, sorry. I did have to say, being a mother is my greatest joy. I love, obviously, my kids more than anything in the world, and I actually really, really love Mother's Day. I know that not everyone does, and I've had a wonderful mother. I've been very fortunate. My mother's mother was a great influence in my life. I've been very fortunate to have many, many mother figures in my life that have been uplifting and powerful, but I know maybe not all of you in here feel the same way, but I would like to encourage even, you know, some of the men in here that you're obviously not a woman and you're not a mother, but I think that everyone can get a little something from what we are bringing, at least a little bit of encouragement.
Yes. So I definitely have mixed emotions about Mother's Day. I literally am still pinching myself. I'm like, am I supposed to be up here on this panel? It just feels so uncomfortable. If the Lord told me years ago that I would be speaking on Mother's Day, I first would have laughed, and then I probably would have said something smart mouth like, good luck getting me in the room, you know? And reason being is 5 years into our marriage, we found out that we could not have children. And that started our journey that comes with infertility. Lots of research, trial and error, 3 failed adoptions, lots of tears, lots of meltdowns. Let me repeat, lots of tears and lots of meltdowns, jumping through hoops to see my dreams and my reality come true. In that moment, when I realized, okay, what I'm dreaming for, it's not going to come. It's not going to happen. I just told the Lord, okay, let's move on to plan B. And I immediately heard him say, baby girl, there's no plan B. This is plan A. I know every hair on your head. I formed you and I shaped you in your mother's womb. My plans for you are good. My plans are to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Trust in me. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will set your path straight.
And I know that me and you have talked about what a mother you are to Radical Church. Pastor Trevor has said it from the stage many times, how you mother this church, how you not only mother the church, but also me. I do feel that encouragement, that love, that nurturing, and I believe that it is a representation of the Holy Spirit that you allow to reside inside of you, because He is our ultimate nurturer. Yes. He does that through you. And I get kind of emotional, you know I do, about how That encourages me.
We both do. We both cry.
It's hard to get us in the same room without a meltdown, right? And, why are you laughing, Trevor? but for real, I am thankful. I am thankful that you allowed the Holy Spirit to make you the mother figure of Radical Church, make you the mother of Radical Church. And I'm just so thankful for you. My question to you is that I know that you're not up here because it's not healed. I know that you're healed. My question is, how did you get to the point where you said, I am a mother? I am.
That's a good question. I will be honest, it was not overnight. But God began to open doors that I knew, honestly, would be hard to maneuver if I was a mom. Not that it would be impossible, but it'd be harder. It's really when my worship ministry started taking off. I started traveling to multiple states, different bands, leading, what do you know, week-long youth camps and kids camps, where I had the opportunity to pour into not just one child, but into 500, 1,000 per week. Then years later, when I was in ministry school, it's like automatically everyone wanted to call me Mama Michelle. And I didn't like it. I'm like, I'm not a mom. And if God wasn't going to give me a child of my own, then I don't want anyone calling me their mama. And God gave me this verse, Isaiah 54:1. Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song, shout for joy, you who never were in labor. For I will make you a mother of many. You see, if you allow him to, he will lead you to walk in what you already naturally carry. I'm going to repeat that. If you allow him to, he will lead you to walk in what you already naturally carry. You see, I had a mother's heart. I loved to encourage. I loved to see people thrive. I cared. I do care. And they were just responding to what I was giving off. So God can fulfill an impossible promise. It just may not look like you thought it would. I would be lying if I said that every day was easy. I mean, I still wonder how stinking cute a concoction of Jeff and I would be. You know, I'll never know. If I had a daughter, would she sing? If I had a son, would he be witty and wise like Jeff? But it really depends on the lens that I am viewing my life from. For years, the last place I want to be on Mother's Day is in a room full of people who had what I wanted. A yearly reminder of my lack. But today, I can say, I can look around the room, I can look at y'all, and it's okay to see qualities and traits in people that I desire. But I'm banking that you can look at me and see qualities that you desire too.
Absolutely. So if any of you have had the pleasure of even getting to speak with Michelle, like, she is just such a special person. And I think that is universally known, like, from anyone that you've really even encountered. She's such an encouragement. And like I said earlier, I have really, really great mothers and mom figures in my life. But that, I mean, that doesn't take away from the fact that she's also been a mother figure to me. And so when I originally approached Trevor and said, I want to take a little bit more of a lead on Mother's Day, I want to put some, you know, feminine sprinkles, right? Not so much a masculine touch on a feminine day, right? I was more so just talking decor and the vibes and that kind of stuff. But I immediately was like, ooh, I need to reach out to Rachel and Annette. I was like, hey, you guys want to help me plan this? Like, I mean, I'm not going to plan at all. I mean, I need help, right? Like, we were having creative meetings and stuff like that. But we had, what'd you say? Oh, yeah, creative meetings, right? But we, at first it was just Annette, Rachel, and myself. And then when we were there, we had our first meeting and we were, you know, talking through some ideas and stuff, just starting the process. And it just felt like there was something missing. And I just felt like Michelle was supposed to be there. And it wasn't specifically for her story, but because of the woman that she is in Christ and the encouragement and the wisdom that, you know, she has to share and encourage all of us with. But let me just tell you, when, you know, it was hard enough getting three of us together, but when we got all four of us together to meet, it was hard to find a time that fit in all of our busy schedules, right? Because life is busy. And I know from the women's gatherings that we've been having every month, shameless plug, if you're a lady in here and you aren't coming to those, it's such a great space for community, right? That's what we're called to do. That's what we need. But within the women's gatherings that we've been having, there's been just like an overall theme. It's like we're busy, right? Like we're tired. We are like, you know, just going, right? We have lists and loads and so many loads of laundry, right? So many loads of laundry. And then we have to-do lists. Don't even mention the super long grocery list, right? There's just so many lists. There's just so much going on. And as I mentioned earlier, my son, Oakland, he just started school this year. So he's only in school 2 days a week. But with that has come, you know, all kinds of new busyness. You know, we're trying to, you know, have community within his school, have community within here. We're trying to just, you know, do all the things, right? That's what God's called us to do, is to have community. So we're doing that. And, you know, just the daily things that we have to do, and it just gets busy. But I mean, honestly, maybe some of you have so many lists running in your head right now that it's kind of hard for you to even fully pay attention. You're like in and out thinking of all the things you have to do after this, right? So I think that's such a common thing among women, among mothers, among honestly just parents in general. Kids keep you busy. There's just lots to do with that. But one thing about being busy is that it's not, you know, it's not new. Just like I said, with me in Oakland, he just started school. But I mean, there's seasoned mothers here who have been doing the school thing and doing the four kids and four different activities thing. But it's a new thing for me. It's not a new thing, however, in the Bible, that, you know, there were many people who were just busy, right? Like the disciples were busy. But in Luke, actually, in Luke 10:38 through 42, it says, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made." Does that sound familiar to anyone? Maybe. "She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away.'" So I think a lot of times, sometimes people can take that as, oh, we just need to not be busy, right? Like we need to literally just surrender it all and have nothing, right? Sometimes the words in there, if you like, you can misinterpret them, but that's not what God was saying there. What he was saying was the heart posture of Mary versus Martha. Yes, we have lots to do. Martha had lots to do. She was very hospitable. And I know some of us in here, you know, maybe that is where your strength is in being hospitable and making sure, you know, the things are where they need to be at home or here at the church, maybe helping with that hospitality. But what Jesus was saying when he was saying, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one, is that at the end of the day, if we're busy or not, as long as we're, you know, sitting at the feet of Jesus and we're soaking up that knowledge that he has, just as Mary did when she was sitting at the Lord's feet, quite literally. I mean, I know we don't sit at the Lord's feet literally, but as long as we're, you know, in our word and we're spending time with him and we're praying, you know, that's the most important thing. And we can't let our distractions distract us from that main thing.
So when Lindsay had first talked about doing Mother's Day, when we kind of all came to the conclusion of like, it should be like a panel kind of a thing. That would be super powerful, and we can, you know, see what God gives all of us. And one of the first things she says, she's like, maybe we can like grab some women from the Bible and see how we can relate to them and different things. And so she brought Martha to the table, and I was like, oh, Martha, there you are again, right? Like, I feel like that Martha is like the woman in the Bible that I can always relate to, right? I feel like as mothers, we can always relate to Martha in the room, right? And God like started to like work on me, and I've worked through the busyness, and don't get me wrong, I do spend time at the feet of Jesus. I do have moments of Mary, but God challenged me. He's like, I want you to dig deeper. I want you to dig deeper into Martha. I want you to find out the root cause of why she was so busy, of why she was so distracted. And the Lord just spoke over me. He's like, perfectionism, Rachel. Like, and I just started to cry because I'm like, Lord, like, that is me. Like, if you guys know me at all, you guys know that I am a perfectionist, you know, and it is really hard for me to not have things perfect. The first service, God was kind of laughing at me a little bit because I forgot to tell the whole congregation to sit down for announcements. And so they were like, tell everybody to sit down, tell everybody to sit. I was like, oh, sit down, you know? And it's like, God was like laughing, like, Rachel, see, like, I am here. I am here. Let me take charge, right? And I feel like, especially in motherhood, that is where my perfectionism hurts me the most, right? I feel like as a youth pastor, I've been a youth pastor for about 11 years now, and I feel like anybody who has a passion for teenagers has to have a lot of grace, like a lot, like a double portion, like a triple portion, like a lot. You know, on Wednesday nights, we're in here with all the teenagers and my eyes just like twitching, but I have grace, right? Like, I have grace for them. God has given me grace for them. And that's something that I do not struggle with ordinarily, is grace for people. And God like really worked on me as I was praying for Mother's Day and in my word for Mother's Day. And he's like, you struggle with self-grace, Rachel. And it just kind of broke me because I'm like, man, I do. Like, and I feel like my kids, a lot of time, the devil tells me, like, your kids get the least of you. Your children get the least of you. I mean, she said, like, I have 4 kids in all kinds of different activities. And so what does that look like for me? Like, I'm trying to be perfect in every area of my life. So then I miss a practice. Then I show up to a recital with my daughter in a pink costume instead of a green one. And she has to go up on stage and be the only one in pink. Like, you know, and God is like constantly reminding me, like, you are not designed to be perfect. You are not designed to be perfect. I have made you perfect through me. And I feel like the enemy, it over and over and over convinces me to strive for something that's so unattainable. And I've come to the realization that I need to surrender it. I need to lay it at the feet of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 12:9-11 says this, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, you are strong. Amen. I realize daily that I am living proof of a loving God. And, you know, Lindsay had said that Motherhood Is Her Ministry was the inspiration for one of the t-shirts out there. And the other t-shirt you're going to see is Living Proof of a Loving God. That self-grace, that grace that covers us, even in our moments of failure, right? And so much of the time, we allow the devil or the world to tell us what motherhood looks like. We do. We have to be this picture-perfect Instagram model mother, right? Like, that is what the world shows us. That is what the world tells us. That is what the world it keeps putting on us. And God is like, can you just rest in me? Can you see that in your weakness, I am made strong? Can you rely on me? Can you surrender? And I believe that the theme of all of us women who are getting together, got together, was surrender. Surrendering our busyness, surrendering our plans, surrendering our perfectionism to God. 1 John 2:27 says this, but the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you, you about everything and is true and is no lie, just it has taught you, abide in him. Abide in him. The Holy Spirit has taught us everything that we need to know. He is our source. The world is not our source. The lies of the enemy is not our source. He is our source. He will make you strong. He will perfect you. He, let him do it. We are not up here in our own strength, and I will tell you that none of us want to be, because we will fail every time. I tell my teenagers all the time. I tell my children all the time. I will fail you every time. Do not look to me, look to God. And so why do we put that on ourselves? Why do we think that we have it when God's taken it already? So just thinking about that and just having the definition of a heavenly mother. What does that look like? It looks like Michelle, you know? You know, that's what it looks like, so.
I think I'm not normally a person who gets like a word for the year. I know that you might have heard even Trevor within the church, radical, you know, like our word for the year is supernatural. That's not really a way that God normally speaks to me. But this, at the end of this past year, God actually did give me a word, and it was better. So I want to be better in every capacity, right? I want to be a better mom. I want to be a better wife. I want to be better. I want my relationship with God to be better. I just want to be better. And so within that, I kind of created kind of like a challenge for myself. Within that better, you know, I'm actively trying to be in my word more and more consistently and to dive deeper. And, you know, I'm trying to be more patient with my kids. I'm trying to, you know, all of the things with my husband. I'm trying to just be better in general. And so I created this challenge to just kind of make sure I'm doing that daily, but also just weaving God into my daily life, right? Like, we have those things we have to get done, you know? I feel like even Mary, she was basically saying, you know, like, if I don't do it, who will? And I think that's something that some of us have maybe said, maybe internally thought, you know, with our motherly duties, our duties as a wife, you know, womanhood, parenthood, whatever. Like, if I don't do it, who will? And so if we don't surrender, just like Rachel was saying, it was the overall theme. Like, if we don't surrender those thoughts and those worries and all the tasks that we have, the list of tasks that we have, you know, then it makes it really easy to kind of speak out of that, honestly, the bitterness that Martha was speaking when she was saying, you know, Lord, why don't you tell Mary to help me, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're not leaning into, you know, we're reading our word, we're praying, we're worshiping, like, we have to find that quiet place. But I think a lot of times we get hung up on the quiet, right? Sometimes it's not quiet. As I was preparing for this and, you know, spending time with the Lord, and I had worship music on, very loud, which was intentional, but my son is upstairs with a drumstick banging on a cardboard box for an hour, right? And then my daughter is just running all around me. I'm like sitting there and I'm praying, and sometimes it's not quiet, but the Holy Spirit is able to quiet our minds, right? Like quiet those distractions and the worries. So although, you know, on his end, it wasn't quiet at all, it was actually really loud banging on the cardboard box. I'm still, you know, like I'm praying, I'm on my knees, and I even, you know, put my face down onto the carpet for a second, and I was just like, I was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and, you know, then I'm writing some notes, and I'm just in the moment, and I look over, and Tegan's just laying there, you know, like, she's laying face down on the carpet like I was, because they're always watching, right? They're watching, and they're listening, and so if we're not surrendering those thoughts and those tasks and those worries that are just, like, running rampant in our minds, and we're allowing them any kind of space for bitterness, then, you know, we're not doing what God called us to do. And we have to audibly and visually show our kids, you know, what God has for us. And we have to walk in that calling. We have to pray. I, you know, ways that I've been in my challenge to myself, that I've been challenging myself to weave God into my daily tasks. You know, I'm praying over my kids when I'm doing their laundry. I'm folding it. I'm putting it away. I'm praying over them. Trevor has actually said this before, but I wash our sheets every Saturday. And so on Saturday night, I'm putting the sheets on the bed and over by where he lays his head, and I'm praying for him. And when I'm putting the pillowcase on the pillow that he lays his head on and snores all night and keeps me awake, I'm just asking the Lord for a peaceful night. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not. But I'm asking God, you know, specifically on Sunday mornings when he's up here speaking, I'm praying over him and I'm saying, God, let it be your words through him, not his own, right? That's exactly what Rachel was saying. We have to make sure, just like Jesus was saying, like in the word when he was saying, Mary has chosen what is better, and we have to choose what is going to make us better. And we have to be in the word. We have to be having that open flow of communication and weaving him in our daily life. It doesn't have to be quiet time only or quiet time at all, right? Like, it's so easy to be like, oh, once I get this done, right? Once I get this done. And I think there is importance to waking up before your kids. If you have that, and that's your quiet time with the Lord, waking up before, you know, the world starts, whatever it is. But sometimes it's not literally quiet. Sometimes there is noise around us as mothers. Just in general, there's just noise around us. And so it's still possible to get that quietness. And that's the only thing that helps us, is when we are in close communion with the Lord.
That's good. Lindsay, that's a good challenge. If I could leave you with a little nugget, and this isn't just for moms or mother figures, but for everyone in the room. You know the saying, if I knew then what I know now. I'm here to tell you that God knows your plan A. He has you where you are for a reason, and his plans don't surprise him. So it doesn't matter if you're married, have a college degree, successful job, 10 kids. That's not what defines us. We're simply daughters and sons of the Most High King, and we are each more than qualified to represent the kingdom. So no matter, like, your hardships, your defining moments, whatever you want to call them, could be the kickstart to a kingdom ministry that you're supposed to step into that could shift generations to come. So hold your plans loosely. God knows your plan A. I'm Michelle, and I'm a mother of many.
Amen, amen. Oh, we're going to clap for that. Come on. Don't clap for that. All right. Well, you know, this doesn't just come together. We didn't want to have no plan coming up here because we'd get in trouble. We were, though, very transparent. We wanted genuineness. We wanted to let you into our lives a little bit. And having the stuff that we have and getting prepared and stuff, we had to tie it up with a little bow, right? We had to get it all together and tie it up with a little bow. And at the end, it said, hold your plans loosely. And I think that it was just so crazy that God already in the message, in the paperwork there, he said, hold these plans loosely. You have heard us talk about Annette a couple times. Yesterday, she let us know that she would not be able to make it today. She was supposed to be up here with us. So we were like, wow, God, we really did need to hold our plans loosely, right?
Plan A, he has a plan.
He just works in confirmations over and over and over again. When we were meeting about Mother's Day, I had even told Lindsay, she had already had it on her heart to ask Michelle, and I said, what about Michelle? And she was like, I was feeling the same thing. It was a confirmation all the way back, a month ago, and of what God was setting up, because God already knew Annette wasn't going to be here. So it was going to be super awkward with Lindsay on the seat side, me on the side, looking like a little date, right? So he was like, no, I will not have that. No, I'm just kidding. So he was like, no. No, this is who's supposed to be up here. Annette, she has some powerful words, let me tell you. But God never has a plan B. He has a plan A. So I just want to encourage you guys today to really, really lay it at the feet of Jesus. Whether you could relate to Lindsay, whether you could relate to me, whether you could relate to Michelle, or whether you're in this place and you're just like, let me just go get my mug. If we just surrender these plans to Jesus, I'm telling you guys, there is a peace that surpasses understanding. There is a goodness and faithfulness that will follow you. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We cannot even imagine what it is that God has in store for us. Our time here is so minimal. And I really do believe that God could have chosen anyone in the world to be my kid's mother. Anybody in the world. And yet he chose me. And so when I focus on my perfectionism, when I focus on things that I lack, when we focus on the things that we lack, God does not make mistakes. He does not have a plan B. He has a plan A, and he is going to use you where he's called you. He is going to use you in your home. He's going to use you in your workplace. He's going to use you. So I am just so thankful for each of you this morning. I know that God has really, really, really been working at pinpointing some of you in this room and saying, hey, I see you, I love you, I care about you, and I want to show you. So confirmation, again, that God is here. So if you guys could just bow your head and close your eyes with me today. Sorry. All right. Dear Lord Jesus, God, I just thank you. I thank you that you do know every hair on our head. God, that you know us so intimately. I think about the vastness of the universe, that you would take so much detail to know the hairs on our head. That is how much you love us. That is how much you care for us. Lord, whether if we've experienced the nurturing goodness and encouragement of a mother on this earth or not, God, you have given it to us. God, you love us so dearly. God, I pray, Lord, that we would go from this place, that we would take on the call. We would take on the challenge as well in our life to abide, like Lindsay was talking about, and surrender, like Michelle was talking about. God, that we are made perfect in our weaknesses because you get to come in. You get to come in and mold us. You get to come in and grow us. You get to come in and shake everything up, Lord. We thank you today. We thank you so much for who you are and what you do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 So if you're in this place and you are a single mama, we see you. We love you. We have a salon card for you to get either your toenails done or your fingernails done. We just want to bless you today with that. So if you guys would just head right out that way to the host table, they will give you guys a card for Mother's Day. Everybody else, go get your coffee. Love you. Happy Mother's Day. Bye-bye.